Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Health Secretary was Sophie Ridge's first guest this morning. Pubs and restaurants were permitted to reopen yesterday, so Ridge began by asking Hancock how he felt so-called Super Saturday had gone.
Well, I think that from what I've seen, although there's some pictures to the contrary, very, very largely people have acted responsibly. And this balanced message is so important. People should enjoy summer safely, and of course the emphasis is both on enjoy and safely. We of course, everybody knows that we're doing everything we can to get back to normal, but only to do that where it's safe to do so. So overall, I'm pleased with what happened yesterday. It was really good to see people out and about and very largely social distancing.
The city of Leicester went into a local lockdown this week. Ridge confronted Hancock about the government's guidance for reopening businesses after several factories in Leicester were accused of making their employees work in unsafe conditions.
It does seem to me that you can't really separate the bringing the virus under control with the employment practices. It feels like they could be pretty significantly linked. And what I don't understand is, you know, we all abided by this very strict lockdown in our personal lives, and yet employers were effectively just giving guidance on what to do. If I'm looking at, for example, the guidance from the government on this, it just says, you know, employers should decide in consultation with their workers whether it's viable for them to continue working from home. Where it's decided that workers should come into their place of work, then this will need to be reflected in the risk assessment and actions taken to manage the risks of transmission in line with this guidance. I mean, I can't help thinking, but this sounds quite weak. The good employers will do the right thing. The bad employers will just ignore it. And this matters not just for the people who work in these conditions, but for the rest of us too.
The thing is, though, Sophie, that guidance is statutory guidance. It's backed up by health and safety legislation, and there are very significant fines that are that can be levied if it's
so
broken.
Furthermore,
we can. Also, what we're doing at the moment instead is we also have the authority to be able to shut down a business if it doesn't follow that guidance.
So there's
significant enforcement. Yes, and that's happened, absolutely. Normally, it's happened in consultation with and working with the employer, with the business in question, but we do have that power, absolutely. So the guidance is not, we're not just asking nicely, we're very clear to businesses that these are their responsibilities. For instance, the same goes for the responsibility for hospitality businesses to take the names and the numbers of the people who are there so that we can do contact tracing if that's necessary.
Andrew Marr challenged Hancock over pay for NHS workers after unions argued that frontline staff deserve extra for their role during the pandemic.
Well, the good news is that there's already an agreed pay rise.
I think they're looking for more than that.
Well, so we will absolutely ensure that we recognise the work that frontline staff in the NHS have done. And the other thing that I want to bottle from this crisis is the freedom and flexibility that the frontline has had to get on with its, you know, using its professional judgment.
I still want to stick with pay, however.
Okay.
Is it right that nurses are paid £25,000 a year? Do you want to see pay for nurses, doctors, clinical staff and auxiliary staff in the NHS going up in real terms this year?
Well, of course I want to see people properly rewarded, absolutely.
Labour have indicated they are looking at moving towards a wealth tax on high earners in order to help boost the post-lockdown recovery. However, the Shadow Chancellor, Annalise Dodds, was reluctant to spell out the specifics.
What do you mean when you say that you think that we should be looking at taxes on assets? Are you talking about taxes on savings? Are you talking about taxes on housing? What are you talking about?
Well, Sophie, as I said before, this is in the context of that debate where government seems to have intimated that it would be seeking to be potentially raising taxes on all of the population. Now, I don't think that's right. I think it should be targeted. Now, I'm not going to say to you to spell out exactly how that should work. I think that's down to government right now. If Labour was in government...
Your new Shadow Chancellor, it feels to me like this is an important debate to have. And frankly, I don't really know what you're talking... Like, you talk about taxing assets, but what do you mean? Would a Labour government consider taxing people's savings or people's houses?
Well, as I said, that debate would only arise at the stage if we needed additional contributions into the system. I'm hoping that we won't see the continued reduction in the size of our economy. Actually, it's best if we can grow our way out of this crisis. But if there needs to be an increased contribution, then it should be coming from those with the broadest shoulders. And when we look at what's happened to the tax system, this applies across a whole variety of elements of taxation of the very best of people. That has gone down. I think you find very few economists who would disagree with that. And yet, support for the lowest income people and the middle income people has been reduced at the same time. That's not a fair settlement. And government should be taking a different approach rather than briefing out suggesting that, for example, income tax could be increased for everyone in the population. They should be looking at those with the broadest shoulders making more of a contribution. I think that's really important.
Mar spoke to the CEO of NHS England, Simon Stevens. Stevens said that the NHS is preparing for a difficult winter ahead.
Are you preparing at the moment for a second wave of COVID-19 this winter?
Yes, it is entirely possible that there will be, particularly if it is coexistent with flu. And the risk is that many of the symptoms are interchangeable. And so one of the things that we clearly need is a very rigorous NHS testing and tracing service available, the ability to give early warnings to hospitals where there are those local increases. And I think we're going to need the biggest ever flu immunisation season we've ever had. We don't know yet whether there will be a COVID vaccine available in time for winter. Mm-hmm. There are more than 20 research groups that are doing that right now.
What's your best guess about that, as somebody overseeing all of this?
Well, a number of the leading researchers suggest that there is a possibility that sometime between September and December such a vaccine might become available. But there's still quite considerable uncertainty as to how you would administer it. Will it be two doses or one? Do you have to take it separately from the flu jab? How long does the immunity last? But clearly that would be a major gain were we able to get it.
However, Stevens also said that he had no complaints to register with the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak.
What I've done with my colleagues is ask that there be necessary funding to deal with the extra costs of coronavirus. That's the commitment that the Chancellor gave back in March, and I have to tell you, he has delivered on it. He has indeed provided the additional funding that we have needed through this coronavirus pandemic.
So you're not asking for extra money, and that's being refused, because he told me, sitting where you're sitting, that he was going to give the NHS whatever it needed this year, and he is living up to that.
He has been doing that, absolutely, and looking out over the balance of the year, obviously there are judgments to be made about how we sustain the extra beds we think we're going to need. We're likely to have a big flu vaccination campaign this winter. There are very significant extra costs from personal protective equipment and other parts of the service.
So how much extra do you think you need this year?
Well, that is a dialogue that we are having, but all the signs are that we will continue to get the support that we need.
And finally, Ridge asked Matt Hancock if he would be happy to work for a new leader of the Western world.
We've heard that Kanye West is going to be running for president. Do you think he'd make a good president of the United States?
It's the first I've heard of it. I think I respect the office of the president of the United States, and I'll support what is our very our strongest and closest ally, no matter who their president is.
So you could definitely do business with Kanye West then?
Look, I'm absolutely not going to get involved in the US presidential election. I'm concentrating on the running of this country. What I will say is that we absolutely support our relationship with America, no matter who the occupant of the Oval Office is.
That's all for this week. I'm Katie Balls, and this podcast is produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do also subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup for all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.
Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.